are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place, because this is the Willpower Podcast. Hey. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. No way. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren, and I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, and her name is May Pham. And May is actually a EXP real estate agent. She's actually an icon agent, and she is based out of the Texas market. So it's an absolute honor to have her on today. So May, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Will, for inviting me to the podcast. And hi, everyone.
Of course, my pleasure. I'm really excited to get a chance to talk to you. I love talking with real estate agents and kind of figuring out how they got to where they are today. So my first question for you is, what was your childhood like, and how has it helped turn you into who you are today?
That's a really interesting question. I didn't expect that. But usually when you met a real estate agent, or you know somebody that worked in entrepreneurship kind of career, you thought that you could be raised by a parents who really on business or have a entrepreneurship mindset, right? So growing up, I have an amazing parents, but I always thought that I'm gonna go work for a company, and I always gonna be you know an employee. That I never thought that I gonna set up my own business or do my own career. So basically, I went to college with an accounting degree and, moving up with my master in business. So by then, I just never thought that, you know, I can run my own business, being my own boss. And then just, you know, one day, as I open up to more networking and, you know, I guess I meet more people with stronger entrepreneurship mindset, then I kind of start open my mind and kind of lean towards more the way of, running my business or building my career in real estate. But if you ask like a little me back then, 20 years ago, I would not say that, hey, I want to do my own business. I'm going to be a realtor or anything like that, you know. But I got raised by amazing parents. And I think that they kind of taught me to be really sincere and really be inconsistent on what I'm doing. And I think that's really helped me with my real estate career.
Gotcha. I love it. And it's amazing to see how things can really change as time progresses. Like you said, you didn't want to go into entrepreneurship when you were younger, but as time moved on, now you're an entrepreneur and you're one of the best at it. So that's awesome to kind of see that transition.
Yeah. And the other day, I actually met like another realtor in my group, and she was raised by parents who got, who would run their business, and she got raised completely, I can tell, like completely different from me, that, you know, once she got into college, she knew it right away that she never want to be an employee working at any company. She had a mindset right at the beginning that she want to do something by her own or ran a business by her own. So it's just interesting to see how different people got raised differently. And from there, they have different mindset of what they want to do in life.
Exactly. And so you went to college and you majored in accounting. So did you do anything with that degree after college, or decide, you know what, I'm going to entrepreneurship, screw accounting, realtor?
I wish I could, you know, because when I started real estate, I was like, I wish I get started a lot earlier. No, I got my degree in accounting. I did my accounting internship. I work in accounting and financing. And even right now, I'm still working in financing. So I think like part of me is still really like what I'm doing. So at this point, I'm comfortable doing both at the moment. Still doing it. But real estate is much more fun.
Gotcha. I love it. And so over time, you said you were kind of in other groups and kind of with other entrepreneurs, and they kind of pushed you into the direction of entrepreneurship. So you got your real estate license, and then talk to me, like, how was that transition like for you? Obviously, you're leaving your corporate job behind, the salary and all the benefits and that kind of stuff, and kind of working on your own, and you get paid what you work for. So, like, what was that transition like for you?
So, I actually had my real estate career, real estate license inactive for a year. And then, suddenly I met my mentor, his name is Hui, 2 years ago. And, he just kind of gave me the ideas of, you know, like how, money can work to you instead of you working for the money, you know, based on, the cash flow concept. So back then I was like, okay, why don't I just open up my mind and look into more into real estate and just give it a go, you know? So I didn't think much. And most importantly, I really like the model that eXp has to offer, the whole trainings and collaboration that eXp has to offer. So I just decided to give it a go. I start out part-time, and I started my real estate career right before COVID. So I think that was when the whole market is getting, you know, just crazy and crazier. So it was actually turned out to be a good time. So I was able to pick up on my productions, and then also, you know, on my agent signs. So everything just kind of came together. And I worked really hard at the beginning as well, but everything seems to, you know, go along really well. Everything turned out really well. I was able to make Icon like in the second year, like you mentioned. So, you know, that's kind of at the moment that I feel like I can, you know, entrepreneurship is something that I can, you know, improve on and work on and just kind of, you know, carry on what life give me, you know, where there's the opportunities and I take it.
For sure. And I love that you're talking about your mentor and how your mentor is kind of pushing in a direction as well. Like, you got to have your money work for you. You got to invest in assets. And it really all points towards real estate. That's like the number one thing that can help you build your financial wealth and financial freedom. And so I'm kind of curious, like, it's not a secret that real estate does it, but why do you think most people don't go in the direction of real estate and don't actually like fully process the fact that you should invest in assets, you should build up your financial wealth, and real estate's the answer? Why do you think most people don't realize that in their lives?
I think it's just part of the long process when it comes to education. We just never thought that, you know, investing in real estate could be a really good opportunity for you to grow either your equity or your assets, right? So back then in school, you may got taught that you can save money, or you can invest into either stocks or bonds or some different kind of financial assets instead of real estate. So it's not something that people usually brought up during daily conversations. So that's why not that many people think that, you know, they can actually invest in real estate. And the thing is, like, because in real estate, if you want to invest, then maybe you have to put more when it comes to the down payment. So it's not like, okay, let me spend $1,000 and I'm going to buy stocks right away. You know, that would be easier for the transaction to happen. But for real estate, the requirement in order for you to grow your real estate portfolio may be a little bit more difficult. So maybe that's why usually you're going to realize that in your midlife, when you kind of have a good amount of equity and you kind of open up to a bigger pocket kind of investment.
Gotcha. And I think you had a head start over other people as well, because you had a mentor who's kind of there, like, helping you out, telling you like what direction you're going. And that kind of proves the importance of like mentorship, no matter where you are, what stage you are.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. So either you are looking to be an investor, or if you want to grow your career in real estate, I do believe that if having a good mentor can give you ahead of the game and kind of go to, you know, the right direction, just because your mentor had been there, done that, and all you do maybe just kind of follow his direction and kind of grow from there. So it saves you quite, you know, sometimes, and helps you to understand a little faster.
Right. And so kind of fast forward in your story a little bit. So you joined eXp then after holding your license for a year, not doing much with it. And then you finally started to go full time with it. So what was that first year like? How many sales did you have? And like, how long did it take you to get your first sale? Or what did that look like for you?
So 2 years ago, I think I got my first sale within maybe 2 or 3 months. So it wasn't like a right away kind of deal. And then right now for last year, 2021, I was able to close 66 transactions as a part-timer. I think it's easier in Texas than anywhere else just because the house value here is less as compared to where you at or California or Seattle, you know. So definitely it's just easier for us to create transactions. That's how I feel, just to be fair. This year, I really hope that I can, grow more in production and just help more agents.
Right. No, I mean, 66 transactions in only your second year is actually insane of a number. So congrats for that. And like you said, you had your first deal within 2 months of going, you know, full time as well, which is pretty impressive. I think the average for most agents is like 6 or 7 months. So kind of talk to me, like what were you doing to kind of generate those leads? Because obviously, like you joined during the COVID year, which obviously The market was on fire then. It's extremely seller's market. It's hard to get your offers accepted. So kind of like, what were you doing to kind of generate leads and, you know, ultimately get those offers accepted during that time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And even right now, it's even harder for your offer to be accepted just because the seller is the demand is way, way more than the supply of what people have to sell in Texas. So I think that one way that I able to generate leads are through social media and mostly on Facebook, because I do have a good network of friends and, you know, friend of friends on Facebook. And that's how I start to grow more, generate more leads. So definitely social media is one. If you're able to host open house, that's another, market for you to grow when it comes to generate leads. But I believe I can see that for me, Facebook and social media work the best for me just because I can brand myself better. I can approach, I can get more, potential leads just through different community groups on Facebook. Open house workout as well. And then you asked how I able to win offer in today's crazy market. So one thing is like I really straightforward with my buyers clients too, so they can understand what they get into when it comes to the terms, when you're about to get to the contract, everything has to be clear at the beginning, right? And then I do want to get like a good relationship with a listing agent. So I always way hop on the phone, maybe right after the showing, if that possible, just to kind of say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Listing agent, I just showed the house to my buyers and they love it a lot. So I just kind of want to build the first good impression to the listing agent and then following up with like text message. And then sometimes I'm going to send them a video. And that's something that I learned from my mentor as well, that just say, hey, this is May, and we're working on the offer. We just sent it over, and just let me know, if anything else that we can do to make our offer stronger. My clients are very serious. They love the house, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of make yourself different than just a regular email sending, hey, this is my client offer. So it's just being creative. And the other day, another agent in my group, he has a listing, and the buyer agent actually put into under special provision on the offer contract is like buyer will buy listing agent a pizza from now to the closing day. So it's just like creative way of how we will think about, how to make the offer or how to look, help the buyers look different than the others. So it's always come down to how you want to help yourself to stand out when submitting an offer.
Gotcha. No, those are all great ideas. And I never thought about the pizza one, but I might have to start using that. That's pretty smart. If it's a household in the end, then who cares, right?
It's funny how like tiny little thing, but the listing agent going to know you right away. Oh, that's Will, the guy that, he's funny and he's going to do this and that. You don't actually have to do it, but it's, they're going to think of you and remember you right away.
Yeah, for sure. And you're hitting everything like right on the point. This market's incredibly tedious and hard to get your offer accepted. So I think those are all things that can help the client out. So I'm kind of curious, like how crazy is your market? Like how many offers for you, like are there normally on a per house? Like when they're going to say, like, I know for mine, there's like 7 offers in 2 days. Like, are you seeing the same kind of numbers from where you're at?
So it depends on the range of the house, what price range that we're looking for. So let's say if it's like somewhat 350 and below, then maybe 20 offers.
Sweet.
Yeah, but if it's like even lower, then there was one time that the listing agent received 110 offers.
Oh
So
my gosh.
once I heard about we received over 100 offers, I was like, okay, never mind. Let me just tell my buyer go and offer somewhere else, because the chain is very slim for you to win the deal with over 100 offers. So I think one thing is like houses here in Texas are really still on more on the affordable side of the real estate market in general. And a lot of people now after COVID, they moving around. So, one thing that you mentioned earlier before we get started on the podcast, that the weather here is better, for those people that don't like cold weather. So a lot of Vietnamese, they like to move over here just because of the community here. We have a lot of Vietnamese people here, a lot of markets, the weather is good, a lot of job opportunities. So I think the amount of people who moving in the state to live in Texas increase, and also investor who see Texas, house as still so affordable for them. Instead of, them putting into one house in Seattle, they can get maybe two or three here. So that's why the whole demand for houses in Texas just blow up, while the demand is just at a certain level. And now even when the seller want to sell the house, they're not going to be able to buy the same house or better house with that price range. So that's not really encourage them to sell.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, just like you're talking, you guys are in a great market. I feel like everyone is going to Texas or Florida right now. So I feel like you guys are in a great state.
I know. So it's like it's hard to be a buyer agent as well, just because your buyer's offer may got turned down so many times, and people are gonna start questioning if that's a good, it is even a good time to buy or not, and the interest rates are start going up, and they will kind of now question if they want to wait. So it's a very sensitive time right now for even for any buyers or investors.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of going off of that point a little bit, so like, do you have any tips or points for having those honest conversation with your buyers? Because obviously, like, some of them, they won't put an offer that's like 5,000 below listing price, but just like you're talking about, all these offers coming in, like, there's no chance of communication or rebuttal of that offer. Like, it's just going to get declined. They're going to go with a different offer. So, like, do you have any tips, like, to have those conversations with your buyers to kind of get them to go up and kind of have like the best possible offer at the present moment, kind of a thing?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned touch point on that a little earlier, that I really be clear, try to be clear as possible to my buyers at the beginning when they say that they are looking to buy, either to stay or even, for investor. I really create a pictures up front that it's a crazy market. You're gonna get situations that your offer will be turned down, but after maybe a few offers, we may sit down and revisit to see what else we can do. If your offers got turned down because of the price range that we not able to bid up on price, maybe we have to see if you want to look into less, a little less hot area in the market, or you have to kind of put your reality to into the pictures that you gotta look into. Has it maybe a little smaller, or a little farther away, or maybe not as new as at what you are looking for. So setting your pictures as clear as possible, and just kind of go back and revisit after the certain amount of houses or a certain amount of offers, just so your buyers will understand. And most of the time I realize that they do. My clients do see, if they're looking for, if they keep submitting an offer and they keep getting denied, then they kind of know that they have to set the expectation a little lower, in order for them to win the house. And it's just going back to communication and helps your client understand about the market and what they can do to win the house. And, try to explain to them that also it's going to be some luck involved, or if you have a fate with that house, so in Vietnamese culture, we do believe that the house can choose you, not you choosing the house. So it's kind of like spiritual belief as well.
Very cool, very cool. And kind of like going forward, so obviously you're very young, you're already an icon agent, which is super impressive. So kind of like looking at your future, like, do you have an exit strategy in place for leaving the real estate industry, or what does that kind of look like for you?
I think it's quite early for me right now to think of what will be the exit strategy. But, you know, we are together at EXP, right? And at EXP, you can help so many other fellow agents to help them, you know, do just as good as you are or even better than you are. And that could be a good, you know, exit strategy when it comes to building your rev share. And that's what I'm currently working for as well. So you will be able to help more agents while building up your, you know, passive income. So that could be something that is, you know, could be something that I'm looking to, because I don't want to sell and buy real estate forever, you know.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I love that plan. And before we run out of time, so I have a couple more questions for you. So one, kind of like looking at your future, like, what are some of your big goals that you hope to get accomplished in like the next couple of years?
Ooh, a big goal would be for me to build my own team, because currently I'm still a solo agent. So I do want to grow my team to at least a 5-member team for the next 3 years or so. I do want to go with slow but steady. So grow my team and grow my revenue share groups to at least maybe 300 in 3 years. I'm currently at 40. So I think that's somewhat a doable goal. So yeah, that will be my two main goals when it comes to my real estate career.
Those are awesome. I love it. I'd be super cool to kind of see them accomplished. And so before we hop off, is there anything else you'd like to say? And if people want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
Yeah, definitely. I am available, you know, on Facebook or Instagram. If you just search May MBA Agent or MBA Realtor in Houston, Texas here, my number is 832-907-7799. So if you have any, if you're interested in Texas, you know, real estate in general, or want to become a real estate agent, you have me or Will here that can help you to get started on your real estate career. I think that you will love it and not going to regret it.
100%. Awesome. Yeah. All right, guys. There you have it. May fam, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Will, for your time. Yeah. I know. No way that we go is a one-way street.